And welcome everyone to the Megastation BBSRadio.com. This is your host, Andrew Bartz, as the Galactic Historian, doing another reading show. I am joined by my intrepid co-host, Danielle Lynn. Danielle, welcome to the show after we've had an amazing dragon webinar yesterday.
Thank you, Andrew. It was really amazing. Three and a half hours, just about, didn't we hit with that one? That was, I mean, we knew we were going to go past two, but we just had such intense energy with that show that we went through it, and the questions were incredible. We had such a high frequency, so we're carrying a lot of those really, really good vibes with us here in this show today. Well, I'm feeling it. What about you?
Oh, I'm feeling it. Today was an incredible energy day post-Dragons. That Q&A, like you were saying, we had some amazing people asking questions.
We don't need to use video.
Okay. Thank you, Santi. No.
Oh, yes.
That was not for you guys.
I
sorry, I'm patching here. I'll shut up from here on. Sorry about that.
And that is our
Sandy, our wizard.
Hunter.
Technical gremlin wizard. But tell us a bit more, because you were talking about the post-dragon energies that you're riding on, so to speak.
Amazing. The questions and answers. And I went back and listened to it live. And after listening to it live in the second time, I just had just an intense, incredible feeling of energies and just a completion of what we were doing.
Wow.
And
it
then
really...
to read the Bruce Lee part afterwards and to see that just jump up and so many people really, really interested. I mean, that's another hour of material. That's 4.5 hours of material we put together in like 5 days. And that was so people could have an incredible experience, and that's exactly what happened. It's incredible. Email responses and the amount of people that are sharing it has just been amazing.
It has been really beautiful. Well, 5 days of the creation of it, but man, we even spent like a few weeks beforehand just preparing all the ceremony and preparation that we've done to put that together. That was pretty intense too. Yeah. Well, that was quite a bit. And you spent almost an entire day, wasn't it? At least an entire day before just clearing out completely your space.
Day and a half. I started wow. at the beginning of the full moon. So it was more like 2 days. I did the outside four corners that first day of the property, and then I did the inside four corners of the building. And then at night, when it reached the peak of midnight, I did the outside four corners of the building. So all three layers had been completely cleared out. And it's important that you see things in layers, because we are layered beings. And when you're trying to create sacred space to do stuff like in the Dragon webinars, you have to make sure that when you're in your sacred space, that your own personal sentinels that you set up are trusting enough that of what you've done in those three layers, or four layers, or five layers, whatever it is that you did, that you set up to have that experience.
When you've talked a lot about us being, multidimensional beings or beings that have many layers or absorb things in many layers. Do you have maybe? Because I'm trying to think of an analogy that we might bring forward, because some people may have like a really hard time processing that. So this is actually a question. Would you compare it to having maybe, like if you were running like multiple programs, like if you had a computer, you had many different programs, and your true self is like the key user, and you have like different programs that you're using, or how would you compare it? How would you explain these layers to people, maybe?
Well, we are complex beings. We are not simple beings. And once we realize that, and we take the simplicity that it's going to be complex, and that there's not an easy way out without studying and looking into the information that you're looking at and finding your truth source. Once you find your truth source, you realize that there's many layers of truth to the higher sources of truth. And then there's the layers of truth that simply say that everyone is true. Everyone is everyone's belief system is right. And that's that highest form of expression where we can simplify what it is that it takes you to do and manifest some types of projects. When you're using an operating system with some type of energy form, that you have a trusted form of communication, and all of the other information that's going through there, it's not that complex.
No worries. Yeah, I just figured it might be good to try and explain to some of the people out there, because we definitely talk a lot about layers, and especially since we did the Dragonar and really going into how dragons are multidimensional beings, or, you know, how we all have multidimensional layers. So, but that may be a topic for another time. I know that today we have several readings lined up for you.
Yes, and we're going to be going into those readings here in just a second. I think you muted Doug there, and I think you need to unmute him because he's the source to BBS.
Oh, okay. No worries. I would unmute him, but now it's not letting me.
There we go.
Okay. Oh, nope.
Anyways,
there we go.
There we go. So, Santi, why don't you go ahead and get ready and bring the first caller that we have in. And Santi is there, muted. Santi Espiliqueta is going to be here. He's unmuted now. And we are going to bring in the first caller here in just a moment. So if people would like to find out about the Dragon webinar, you can go to galactichistorian.com, and you can go on to our products button and click over there and see all the different products that we've got up there.
We currently have both the Dragon 1 and Dragon 2 available, and together I think they're going to run for a bit over 4 hours. This is a big product altogether, so definitely worth it, though. The material is incredible. So, all right. Okay. It looks like we're going to have our first caller coming on.
Okay, Likita, are you here?
Hi, Andrew. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing really well. We've got a gorgeous sunny day. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Where are you at?
In Australia?
In Australia. Yeah, that's right. We're worldwide over here. So how did you find out about me?
A friend of mine sent me a link to one of your shows, Walking in Energy with Andrew Hales. From there I looked at all the galactic history, which blew my mind, and I just felt it all really resonated. And then I went back and looked at your reading shows, and yeah, I've been following you ever since.
Oh, that is really, really good. So what about the material jumped out at you? What was it that grabbed a hold of you and said, I want to learn about this?
Well, I'm not sure that there was one specific thing. It was more the fact that you have such an amazing take on things which nobody else has been able to explain the universe and the galaxy and the layers and levels of being a multidimensional being in the way that you have. And so this is all, a lot of it's new information, even though it feels familiar. You just get to explain things in a way and on so many levels that I guess so many of us have been searching for. Yeah, so it's pretty awesome.
That's really good to hear. So have you heard me do readings before?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so you kind of know how this works. You have the Akashic record of this world and 20,000 other worlds open to you. So what kind of questions do you have for the Galactic Historian?
I guess my first question would be about my soul family, where I'm from, where I'm working, when I have these amazing experiences of being out in the galaxy and birthing planets and weird things, and I don't know where I am when all that's happening or what exactly is happening in those moments. So, but yeah, soul family would be a place to start.
Okay, well, first thing first, you're part of the Arcturian Dolma soul family, the main Arcturian soul family, one that was on the original thread line of Arcturian creation from 161 million years ago. So, well, that means you're old, first thing. You get your free cup of coffee on every planet you go to. You got your senior citizen soul card.
Wow. That's huge.
Okay, so before the Galactic Ascension Machine was created, and before our planet, our universe was a free-willed universe, you were a soul living here that came from another free-willed universe and immigrated into a non-free-willed universe and became part of the Arcturian Dolma Collective that began mapping out the fundamentals of the universe at that around that 151 to 140 million years ago. The universe was a lot smaller than it is today, and there were billions upon billions upon billions of soul family members who were part of the Arcturian Dolma groups that literally began mapping the whole universe. And then they got to a point where they just got about the whole universe mapped, and it expanded. And they're like, well, okay, well, we got to start over. And as soon as they got it mapped, it expanded again and again and again and again and again. Until we get to around about 90 million years ago, and it's when the Arcturians suddenly realized as soon as you reach the peaks and map everything, it expands, and there's a consciousness at the universal level. And that universal consciousness was leading not only Arcturians, but thousands of other species around to look at everything, to map everything, because there was a great change coming, and this change was known as free will. Now, as a light body in a non-free-willed universe that came from a free-willed universe, you understood, and you were a seventh-dimensional entity, a frequency entity at that point in time, so you didn't need one body. You could have millions if you really wanted to, and in fact did. This led you into the next concept. Well, what is this universe changing? And you made temporary, we'll just call them, vacations from our universe, and the vacation from our universe, you went to another universe and re-experienced free will for a while and made a whole bunch of contracts and deals with other beings that after you gained free will back in this new free in our universe, which would go from non-free will to free will, that there would be this big migration of beings that would come find you, who was going to be choose to be a divinity path birthing being. Not one, but millions. So you were going to spread your divinity path birthing onto hundreds of different planets. In fact, thousands of different planets. And you were going to use your Arcturian lineage to go and direct incarnate on a planet, bond with the DNA lineage technology that the planet had already had, with the intention of giving the soul codes to that species that would be able to go and explore the universe up to everything that they had explored when they integrated with their DNA. So you kind of see how big of a frequency you are?
Yeah, I had an idea it was big, but not that big. No wonder I'm tired.
Well, that is the next part. The next part is you gave birth, our universe became free-willed, and you began giving birth not on one planet, like I said, tens of thousands of different planets. One of those planets you began giving birth on, which was Earth. And Earth reached at the 54 million year mark, it began to go through the first series of timeline genocides. When a divinity path birther like you goes through severe psychic attacks on one little part of their soul shard, it stirs up a hornet's nest of beings that want to protect you and to remove that soul shard from harm. Well, there were tens of millions of divinity birthers on Earth, and they all went through the same thing. Their soul families got stirred up and said, hey, what's going on? You're severely harming these beings. We need to stop this. This was what created a transference of karma from Arcturian divinity path beings, being divinity path beings with other planets who are taking second dimensional life, raising it to third dimension, giving them skin suits with DNA technology and memories in it so they can begin building a legacy on a planet. You're a foundation founder being.
Wow.
Okay. So here you are on Earth.
Foundation.
Yeah. Yeah. So here you are, a Foundation founder being on Earth in the beginning of the Galactic Ascension Machine, in awareness that you are going to karmically entangle probably a good 70% of the Arcturian people. And you gave them a warning, and that said you must disentangle quantumly from the soul family status. If you do not, you are all going to be pulled into this ascension machine and are going to be tools for resolving karma and go through an extinction. So there was a big separation in the soul families of the Arcturians so that the main Arcturian collective, the Dolma collective, would not be drawn into the Galactic Ascension Machine. And I've only talked about this a very, very few times. So basically what happened is a quarter of all Arcturians, the main Arcturian people, made a voluntary choice to sever themselves from the main collective and essentially go through the sacrifice and become part of the Galactic Ascension Machine. They could predict how far the paradoxes would go through DNA lineages, and those that volunteered to leave made sure the paradox didn't spread any farther. You were the being, you were one of those beings that gave the sacred feminine warning to all those Arcturians and all those others, one degree of separation of the Arcturians, that something big is happening. You must be very prepared for this. This is sovereign free will at its highest level. There will be galactic and universal beings earning free will, and it's not going to be pretty. And at the same time, it's going to be the most incredible piece of spiritual artwork ever created, because at the end, it'll be its own perfect universal creation.
Let's hope so.
So what kind of other questions do you have?
Oh, God, sorry, I just need, yeah, it's a lot to digest.
Take a second there. Take a second.
Do it all again. I have some questions. I did a trip to Egypt in 2012 and had some amazing experiences there. One in particular, when I went into the Red Pyramid, I was downloaded with light language, and I've been able to speak since that time. But I had this 20-minute conversation with some group, and again, I have no idea, even though we were speaking out loud, I have no idea what I was saying, where it was coming from.
All right, can you spontaneously create it, or does it start on its own?
Now I can spontaneously create it. At the time, 2 years ago, it just happened on its own, and I didn't feel like I had any control over it.
Can you give me a sample of it, and then I can tune into that soul language, and in fact, I can probably speak it with you. I'm quite familiar with the vast majority of the languages here.
Sorry, I think I've got a little healing going on here.
I know. We've been waiting for this for a long time. I want you to do a little bit more light language. Just doesn't matter what you're saying. I'm literally interpreting what's going on. So if you hear me talking, it's we're conversing back and forth in a light language. So waha di yata. Shamona na sha data yatata mote yanatuta tash.
Ekiana haya daya
waha yinata momachika taka momota.
Keha kiana tiano koya nene. I cannot.
Papoya. Papoya na pupatiana. Naha chika wata chana mamuchi. What's going on is you have a very powerful Malaysian and Polynesian shaman that has been working through you and is lost in time right now, and he only knows how to speak the light language of truth. And in when these moments that it first came on, this shaman is you in a past and is lost. And what I'm doing is I'm speaking to him in the light language so that he can find his soul code back. What he's been asking for you in these voices to please go inside, deeper inside. Inside yourself is the light of all soul codes because it's already been completed in you. As I said, you're a very, very ancient being. And you got a lot of parts that are missing, but you can begin bringing them back together. It's just a matter of you having trust and faith in the light language that your higher self is acting with you in accord. And when you begin to have the tears from the light language, it's an incredible beneficial healing because this I Am presence, even though you don't think you know what you're saying, at your heart level you do.
Yes, I'd agree with that. It's just there's a little bit of embarrassment and uncomfortableness
Don't be embarrassed. We're having a little bit of sound problems. So Don, while you gave a suggestion there, why don't you go to a quick break and that'll allow Likita to come back to herself for a second. We can fix a little bit of sound issue that we've going on. So go ahead and go on to the sound break, Don. And Nikita, hold on the line here. It's been fabulous to talking with you. I've got a lot more for you. Welcome back to the Megastation BBS Radio as the technical gremlin hunters have hunted the gremlins and stapled a left sock to their forehead, and they are running off, you know, with a left sock stapled to their forehead. And we are going to get back to this reading. Likita, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Andrew.
So how are you doing now that you've had a chance to just settle down a little bit?
Yeah, I'm doing really good. Thank you. So good.
So what other kind of questions did you have? Or did you want to do some more light language work? Because sometimes that if you're right on the verge of that, you just need that to push you over the hump.
I do have one more question. I have an animal that likes to take over sometimes. I was up at Mount Shasta and I put one foot on the ground there and the next thing I was on all fours growling, roaming around. And I've had this before, but not in the same way that it came about. It usually comes in another form, but I wondered if that was like an animal spirit or if it's connected to Lyra in any way?
Well, the bigger answer is, why did you go on all fours right away when you got to Mount Shasta? And you said this has happened before, and you don't really know why it's happening. It's happening because your DNA is changing. And it's changing so fast that there are times that your residual image changes. And much like a shapeshifter who loses focus and you revert back to your original DNA image, not what you're mimicking in society. And right now you're going through some of your DNA is in what's called a feral process. That means other parts of you that were very much Neanderthal or feral human or cannibals or stuck on an island in the middle of the nowhere with only two breeding pairs are going through the last of their lostness and being reconnected to your soul shards through the dream world. And a lot of times those powerful feral residual images take over because many human beings figured out how to do shape-shifting even out after it was removed from our species and race memory because they were so disconnected from the rest of reality and belief system, they're able to make a local bubble of reality where shape-shifting was quite easy for them if they practiced it at a young age. So you are going to be going through a process where shape-shifting, residual image shifting, looking at yourself in the mirror, could be radically different from one day to the next. Have you looked at yourself and just seeing how much you can, do change each day?
Yeah. And you mentioned shape-shift a couple of weeks ago, and that really connected to me in that last, I don't know, a couple of episodes ago, you spoke about it, I wondered if there was an element of that.
Yeah, well, you have also a couple anthropomorphs that are working in you. Anthropomorphs are divinity path beings who had a offspring with a non-divinity path human. Whether they're male or female doesn't really matter. So that means you're like Hercules, a demigod, and that demigod creates a DNA lineage line that keeps getting watered down and watered down and watered down. Every now and then an anthropomorph will come into that DNA lineage and add more DNA into it, which allows more of that deity path, the ability to be a very powerful being separate of the rules of domination and control, to come through. And this is starting to really work on you at the social life, where there's lots of other deity-type beings who want to interact with you, but they're being blocked by your particular karma this lifetime, which is the best way to describe it, is the martyr that believes you have to do it on your own.
Yes, I'm resolving that one.
Well, the biggest way to resolve it is to get out in public, and doing a radio is really a good chop. Good for a shot.
Yeah, learning to ask for help has been a big challenge for me. But
any last questions?
No, I think I've probably taken up enough of your time, but thank you so much. It was just wonderful to connect.
Before you go, I just want to do some more light language with you. So, wanti yanati, wapa, waki yana, shi momi nanati, waka, wanachi, wama, nanachi, waha. Wapu bianadi toni chimona ta tachiko no machina wotuni china na nahoni yacha wakana chimomani no mona shehe.
Eha en te de akiaraka en ne tukorai. Aha en de kari en de dokora bea. De nai ehiara edere akora en de kai. Ea nane e. Dea no koe hi ane are kia ai kia lana. Ai hi ana ai kia o amoe de hi ane se ta ka. Dea kai.
Nā po ma ma ma. Nā ma ma ma. Cha. There you go.
Sweet. So much. Big love to you.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll look forward to hearing the rest of the show.
Okay, you take it easy, and when you get a chance, you'll be able to hear yourself and me going back and forth, and there's going to be a lot of light language in there for you to listen to on the replay. And just if the tears come, just let them go. Those are healing tears.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. It's been an
honor. Thank you, Andrew.
So we're going to bring in the next caller. The next caller is going to be Michelle. Don, you want to go ahead and bring Michelle 951 in? Okay. Michelle, are you there? Okie dokie. She was an incredible light language session there. That's something frequently I do in a lot of sessions. It depends on the type of – some people need that frequency, 5 minutes, 8 minutes, or 30 minutes. Some need 3 or 4 hours. It completes a process within them of learning to trust the higher self and the languages that are functioning through them. Right away I was able to identify through the tears in her voice that there was actually a being in desperate help, lost in time. And all it could do was modify the voice to create the SOS language that was going on there. And once I got to that being and got her reintegrated with what was going on, the being could find where it was in time again.
How long has she been lost?
A long time, a really, really long time. That was second paradox third evolution, fifth epoch, probably, I don't know, 40 million years.
I can't speak for everyone, but I know that when I was listening to that, I was crying.
Anyways, we have Michelle with us. Michelle, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Andrew?
I'm doing really good. How did you find out about me?
Well, many months ago, I was listening to a radio show of the N5D broadcast, and you were on there, and a lot of the things that you said really resonated with me, and from that point, I had to find out more. So I've listened to all the Galactic History shows. I've listened to some of your reading shows, and I'm just hooked now. So,
well,
just very honored and grateful to have a reading with you right now. So,
okay. Well, you kind of know how this works. You have the Akashic record of this world and 20,000 other worlds open to you. What questions do you have to start off with, or did you want me to jump into something?
I guess I'll go ahead and ask something. So the past several years, I've had to deal with a lot of negativity in my life, and it's just been kind of like this weird alternate reality kind of thing, where it just feels like every force in the universe is working against me, and I just figured there has to be a reason for it. So.
Well, it's not every force in the universe working against you. That I can assure you. It is just multiple versions of yourself who are very angry that you made it there in unawareness, and they're in awareness on two other dimensional timelines, and really quite pissed off because they had all the cool toys, they had all the cool people, they had the hierarchical order, they had the system of domination and control, they had the money, the wealth, the women, the men, the lions, the tigers, the elephants, the zoos, and there you are, living your life, and they know that theirs is now going to be just integrated into something that is part of history, and that their existence is not going to be able to prove to the universe that they made a difference. That you are that focal point. So what you are experiencing is the classic form of self-created karma for beings who learned during the second and third timeline paradox that it wasn't the end, and that there was these false light beings going around creating a whole bunch of other karma that got people entrapped and stayed in those second and third paradox timelines. And all of a sudden, you got created on the fifth non-paradox timeline, separate of everything else that all of these other beings were doing in a method that was unpredicted. So that means another piece of a soul shard from another paradox timeline that was really pissed off at you being in the system of domination control became a part of resistance-free Earth and made a way for you to get out of the paradox timelines and into the non-paradox timeline before it could be created as a paradox timeline. Do you understand that?
I'm trying to understand it. So these are other aspects of myself.
Versions of yourself. These are aware selves who are wizards, sorcerers, scientists that are aware that time is mutable, that consciousness and energy depict the nature of reality. They understand quantum theory, quantum mechanics. They have dimensional technologies. They would be equivalent to Atlanteans or Lemurians, technologically wise. And here you are on Earth without free power, a system of domination and control, reduced to the lowest common denominator of using your free will or being owned by the system. And you're proving that all of the power and wealth that they have is pointless, that you can do it with a single connected source to the planet.
Okay.
This is your purpose, is to show all of those other versions of yourself, no matter what obstacles you put in my place, not only can I manifest through them, I can transmute those negative energies you are projecting into me to positive spiritual locomotion and protection.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. You read the contract revocations?
I have read the contract revocations. I've only read it out loud maybe once or twice, I think. And I've actually recommended them to other people, but probably should take a look at them again.
I think it's very, very, very important that you read those out. There are five of them: masculine, feminine, government, banking, and media. Each day you try one. So that's 5 days in a 7-day week. And I want you to try that for 3 weeks. And the reason why is you have a bubble of protection around you that is like a lung. It expands and contracts, expands and contracts. And when it contracts, you are in karmic resolution, and that means all of those beings in one degree of separation of you project karma onto you. And you naturally absorb it because the DNA lineage that you're in right now is passed on karma to you from Masonic orders.
Okay.
Yeah, do you know about your grandfather or your great-grandfather?
Well, I knew one of my grandfathers, and I don't really know much past that. So,
do you know of anyone in the Masons?
I don't know of anyone in the Masons. I think my mother's father, I know he was very spiritual. I didn't really know him very well.
Did you know anyone that was in the Knights of Columbus?
Yes, my father's in the Knights of Columbus.
There you go.
Okay.
Now, I'm not putting down the Knights of Columbus. That is just a recruiting organization for those people to join the different Masonic orders.
Right. Right, and that's a Catholic organization, right?
Yes.
I mean, mm-hmm. I was raised Catholic, and I went to Catholic school and the whole
right.
thing. So,
and I'm not, like I said, I'm not putting it down. It's just a recruitment organization.
I get it.
For those that have the karma and the energy to go through some higher form of karmic experience. What is being projected at you specifically is the karmic experience of the Masonic order from when your grandfathers, your great-grandfathers, or great-grandfathers were invested and involved into those organizations so that their families wouldn't be affected, but future generations of their family would be affected. So it's a very selfish debt that was created. And when you were born, your DNA lineage went active. And the only way to turn it off is to literally say, I don't believe in it, and do it so much that you can create a whole new layer of sacred space and begin reprogramming your inner reality where karmic debt does not have the immediate credit card swipe on you and just remove the value that it believes from you instantly. Whether it's a person that cuts you off in traffic or somebody that you work with that suddenly comes in as very sexist to you or is talking behind your back for no reason other than to create drama.
Okay.
So have you been having that type of drama show up, work drama?
At work? No. I mean, the people I work with are pretty nice. There might be people who do that, but I pretty much don't associate with them. I just kind of do my own thing.
So what's holding you back?
What's holding me back? From what specifically? I mean,
your goal of being at the utmost of happiness.
Yeah. Well,
that's a battle I see. That's a battle I've seen and I see in your life path of how happy you can be versus false happiness, where you are just happy enough to make sure the people around you who are anchored into you don't fall apart.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So
you
have to be happy. That means you have to let them go out of your heart.
Right. And then maybe there's some guilt there.
Shame, blame. Lots of shame, blame, and guilt. That's karma. That's ancestral karma.
Right.
Because all of those people that you're in the soup of shame, blame, and guilt are sharing what I call the dirty energy underwear with you. They're sharing dream space with you and regularly coming into your energy field at a psychic level and dumping their psychic garbage on you and taking your good energy and leaving. And this is frequently happening 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 times per month, which has really disrupted your sleep and dreaming pattern.
Right.
So when's the last time you really remember good dreams?
It's been a long time. I just get bits and pieces. And I mean, after the most traumatic events, actually, I couldn't remember any dreams at all. And it really was upsetting to me to not be connected to my dreams. And so that's a challenge.
All right. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to try to reconnect your dream world for a second. I want you to try to recall the last dream you can remember in some kind of detail. Give me about 30, 40 seconds of it out loud, and I'm going to look at your dreaming body and see what I can do to reconnect it.
Oh, the last dream I can remember. Okay, let me think.
Just any dream. Doesn't matter.
Any dream? Okay, so I had a dream, and this might have been a while ago, but it stood out. My son is sitting at a picnic table, and he turns to me and he says, "Mom, we are in the wrong soul family." And I mean, that's all I remember of that.
All right, hold on, stop. Well, you are in the wrong soul family.
Yeah, I know.
You are in the wrong soul family. You are Pleiadian. You are Pleiadian.
Pleiadian, yeah.
You're Pleiadian, but you also have a lot of Orion and Sirian in you. So you gave 50% Pleiadian, 20% Orion, 20% Sirian, and that other 10% is a bunch of other stuff that made the completed DNA lineage that you have, and you just made sure you lived life enough lifetimes in other DNA lineages. So if you ever got kicked out and needed to go back in an emergency, you can jump into a skin suit. So you incarnated into this skin suit as what I call it's a parachute soul. At the last minute, literally within seconds of you being coming out of the birth canal, the soul that was in the birth the whole time left and you walked in after you had already scanned by the system of the Archons to make sure that you were the right soul and the right body and the right skin suit. And as soon as you walked in, the system rescanned you and reclassified you as a what I call a positive threat. That means they couldn't identify what you were going to do, and they couldn't interfere with what you were going to do because it was so unpredictable that they had to allow it to come to some predictability. Between age 2 and age 7, they would have heavily targeted you.
Okay.
So what was like age, you know, when you were growing up to age 7?
Between 2 and 7? Well, I don't have a lot of memories early on, but I would say that I felt a lot of drama in my life between my parents.
Yeah.
Maybe there
That's
was like
the ancestral fighting. Karma.
Yeah.
Right. That's what impressed into you the lack that you've had to live in, the lack of abundance of spirit. Even though you had spiritual people around you, they weren't completing your spiritual circuits.
Right.
So now you are in this moment of life where you're thriving for this great spiritual experience, but don't have a community to do it with.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's like a big thing with me is
community.
Not having people that I can really relate to and connect to about these things.
And trust.
Trust is a big one.
Yeah. Trust.
Trust. I mean, I feel like I've been, and I'm not trying to play a victim. I really am not. But
I know you're not. Trust is not an easy subject matter, and it's really easy to be a victim, and then it's really easy to not be a victim and explain how hard trusting is.
Right.
All right, so I tuned into your dreaming body, and I've got a number of the strands reconnected to your sacrum. So what I want you to do is just I'm gonna do a little bit of light language voice, and I just want you to kind of just mimic what I say. Waha natata.
Waha natata.
Tati ya namota.
Say it one more time.
Tati ya moto.
Yamota.
Anahata.
Anahata.
Yahata.
Yahata.
Wahata.
Wahata.
Napahata.
Napahata.
All right. What that did is actually lowered part of your energy body that's, what I say is your soul is more anchored into your throat than it is into your heart. And I moved it down a level so it's more anchored into your sacrum than it is into your throat. And that'll last 4 or 5, maybe 6 days. It's very, very important that during this time you go and get about 3 or 4 cups of salt, like kosher salt or pink Himalayan salt or Persian blue salt, whatever color, doesn't matter. And I want you to put about a cup of it into a bag and put it over your solar plexus. And if you have to, take a cotton bandage and hold it in place there all as long as you can. You know, if you wear a bra still, you can stick it there. And make sure you do this for as many hours as a day as you can for the next 6 days. It's very, very important. You have a you were just disconnected at a very young age from the natural anchorage point of how your dreaming body goes in and out of your sacrum. And when you're more centered towards your throat, that means you're more of a vocal and communitarian communications person, but you're not connected into the dream world of the people that are your one degree of separation, your greatest community of spiritual people. And to do that, you need to go back into the dreaming from the sacrum, so the sacrum gets the download, the heart interprets it, and the mind begins to understand, instead of the throat being the experience of the dream.
Okay.
Because right now, if you don't talk your dream out or write it down, you won't really remember it. Especially if you're able to recite it many, many times, then you can, because your throat is the triggering for the body to clear out pathways that have filled up with other excess information that you no longer need.
Okay.
All right, so the next thing is, I think it's really, 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 really serious that you consider an extended form of detox. I said this to the last caller. And generally, for a lot of callers, I recommend detox. But for you, I'm gonna be really specific. It's very important that you look at your intestinal tract as your ability to process fuel. And right now, you are not processing the fuel that you need to complete your DNA changeover. So, what's been the big change in your diet lately?
Right now, I've tried to eliminate some wheat and dairy, and sugar, but you know, it's not easy. but you know, I've worked on my diet for a while. It's been an ongoing challenge for me.
Have you ever done a detox?
You know, I haven't really seriously done one.
Well, I'm gonna seriously recommend that. You seriously, seriously consider going and do a series of colonics. You ever had a colonic?
Yes, I have had. I've had several colonics.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what I'm going to say is you have a series of colonics, 3 or 4 in a period of 10 days, and then start a 2-week colon cleanse. It's important that you do that, that you actually get a chance to process the food the right way. Right now, your body's very acidic. It would be very beneficial for you to get a pH balancer for your water. And you have too much chlorine in your water or something else in your water.
Oh, okay, because I have a water filter that I use to take out fluoride. Could it be
It might actually be taking too much stuff out. Okay. And what it is, the water is too pure, and now what it's doing is pulling it out of your muscle structure. Because what I'm seeing is all of this acidic energy trying to come in and clear out, but with what's going on with your body, it's just really, really, really hard for it to go any further. So you need to clear the gut out, and clearing the gut out will be a massive spiritual release for you. You'll be taking a spiritual dump.
Okay.
You're going to feel all 1,000 pounds spiritually lighter when you're done with that process.
Okay.
Okay. You're not going to be carrying all the excess baggage that isn't yours.
So what type of cleanse would you suggest? Like, are you talking
There are kits out there, a colon cleanse, a 2-week colon cleanse kit. And basically what these kits do is they're a whole bunch of fiber, there's a detox and a cleanse pill, and you take them morning, afternoon, and night. And you got to make sure you're drinking at least 3 quarts of water a day. I'm sorry, 3 liters or 2.5 liters of water a day, otherwise you're going to get seriously blocked up. What the fiber pills do is they expand in your intestinal tract, and the detox begins to break down the mucus layer that's holding the heavy layers of toxins, and then your blood goes through the process of dumping more toxins into the intestinal process, as well as the liver, the kidneys, the gallbladder. And this makes a train that's constantly coming out of you for 2 weeks. Those first 4 or 5 days, you are balancing your fluid and returning your body's pH from acidic to alkaline. And once you're in alkaline, you're going to be letting go of the most amount of toxins. For you, it's going to be lead and mercury, aluminum. You got a tremendous amount of aluminum metal in you. Maybe did your parents use aluminum pots cooking when you were growing up?
I mean, maybe I don't know. That would accumulate in the body all that time. It would be in there.
Yeah, it never goes away.
It never goes away.
There's very few ways to get metals out of the body. That's known as chelation, and you need to be really, really serious about it. There's very few products that actually go through the blood-brain barrier once you're getting mercury poison or any type of other metal poisoning. And this is common. This is really, really common. Believe it or not, most people get their metal poisonings from bread and flour. I mean, every stage of wheat and flour has metal cutters on it that are constantly leaving metal shavings in it. You know, from the point that it's picked to the point that it's on your thing, it might be going through 30 or 40 blading systems that are constantly leaving metal dust and shavings on it. And that's just a dirty part of the industry that people are starting to learn about. Same with potatoes and all those other stuff that have to go through washing and cleaning as the metal bins that they're in begin to break down over long periods of time.
Okay. Wow.
So I want you to do a 2-week colon cleanse along with those colonics. And then I want you to wait a week or two and then start a gallbladder cleanse. That's a 1-week cleanse.
Okay.
And that right there will give you tremendous opportunities as a spiritual being to really have some amazing dream experiences without this debt and luggage hanging around.
Right. Now, as far as the karma, the ancestral karma, you know, like for my own children, how can I? I'm concerned about their inheriting my karma.
Well, the more you begin to do contract revocations, the more you are going to expand your ability to create sacred space for your children. And once you've created enough powerful sacred space, your karma cannot be transferred onto them because you defined your boundaries in contract revocation and invocation. And then once you define your bodies, you have to be able to move within the reality. Kids are always moving, going to and from school, to and from house, the same for you. And then you need to begin to create a mobile set of rules that's outside of your sacred space of how you interact with the world. This is where learning how to be a shaman and releasing dense energies from buildings that you go to will be something that it could be very advantageous for you to begin to learn.
Okay.
All right, I've got to move on to the next caller.
Okay. All right, well, I appreciate it.
You are very, very welcome.
Okay.
Okay, Doug, why don't we go on to the next caller, Moji? Moji, are you there? 3, okay. Should be here in just a second here. And for those people that may or know, really, Moji is the caller that called in during one of our reading shows and asked a specific question about dragons, which spawned a whole bunch of introspections. Danielle, what did you think of that last reading?
I felt that it was very, I could see that she had a lot of stuff to process. I was fascinated about her process, especially, you know, that what you explained about the parachuting.
Yep. Moji, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing on this fine evening?
I'm doing fantastic now that I'm speaking with you again.
So how is the dragon doing?
I'm sorry?
How is the dragon doing?
The dragon? I don't know. Tell me about the dragon. What is
smart
it?
Dragon.
Why? Tell me. Come on. Stop laughing and tell me.
Okay, so how have things been for you for the last 10 days?
It has been crazy.
Okay.
It's been, how has it been? You want more specific how crazy I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of entities that have been visiting me.
Uh-huh.
And,
all of them looking for remedy and resolve, huh?
Well, obviously they are, because they're pretty persistent. They're not letting go. And I don't understand why. What are they trying to tell me? What's going on?
They're very afraid that their form of reality is going to be eliminated by a weapon that's being created in Las Cruces, Mexico right now. It's a reality-altering weapon that has been used on previous Paradox timelines that has the ability to actually erase Elemental Dragon's light body, so they have to start over. And this weapon is being prepared to be deployed from Las Cruces, Mexico to Palmdale Air Force Base in Florida, and then there will be replicated and be brought to the Netherlands, it'll be brought to Iceland, and then be entered into the upper atmosphere, and then from the upper atmosphere be forced dimensional traveled into Hollow Earth to complete an extinction process and remove certain types of elemental dragons completely from the Galactic Ascension Machine as if they never existed in the first.
So how is that related to me? What does that have to do with me? How am I in the middle of this? That there are
you're the bodyguard, protected, soul contracted, soul code holding dragon from 200 different planets' gene pools. When we first had our conversation, you know, things were kind of rough for you. And one of those reasons why is your bodyguard network hadn't been activated. You parachuted into a body at a point in time where there should have been a whole bunch of people there to receive you, and that didn't happen. But you were planned triple Z after a whole bunch of very powerful dragon entities didn't make it into skin suits, didn't make it into dragon skin suits either, and they had no other choice but to go through the forgetting for a very long period of time and to hope that they made it to the end, not separated into a million pieces, but kind of maybe 80 or 90. You made it in about 18 pieces. So those other 17 pieces that you have going right now are the reason why the 200 bodyguard networks instantly summoned for you in that first activation for you. And one of the reasons they're so persistent, it's the other 17 bodies of you who are constantly going through this tremendous communication, and it's all bleeding through to you, who is in charge of the I Am Present Self now. And you have to realize that you have to create a hierarchical structure temporarily so that this I Am Presence can understand what the other 17 versions of yourself are going through, so you can begin a separate and equal healing process on all 17 of them, so that you have full communication with the information stream and the 18 beings that makes up you.
Wow. Okay. How do I do that, Andrew?
Well, it comes down to what are you going to do to connect to the planet? And what does it take for you to do it with a smile on your face, like the biggest kid smile you've ever had? It's as simplest as the answer gets. Can you make a sand castle that's 10 feet tall and has your frequency in it and then just allow people to see it? Can you go and do a ceremony? Can you go and do something where you're not in your head, but you're molding something with the earth?
Okay.
And that time that you're molding something with the earth is where the dragon energy that are working through you can begin to, like sandpaper, begin grinding away at all the stuff that's bleeding away into you, so that your presence, the one that is you now, that has a specific experience, that's managing the bodyguard networks for the other dragon souls out there. So for those callers that are listening, you know, she's a special person. She has soul codes that have brought in bodyguards, specific light beings that are protecting other specific light beings to make sure that there's an anchorage so all beings have access to all soul codes at all times.
Okay. Okay. All right. Wow. This is I was not expecting this at all. I know that my first reading you were holding back a lot and you didn't feel like I was ready to hear everything and now you're telling me everything.
There are reasons why. When you first came to me, there was a lot of things that you needed to personally come into an understanding with. And if we look at that first reading, once the bodyguard network was set up and you weren't, I'm going to call this, just a metaphor, in spiritual blue ball, because you had never been able to get that load of energy out of you to manifest the frequency to create the portal so that the bodyguards could come in.
Now you're saying that I'm able to do that?
You've already done it. After the first reading, there was enough energy within you. There weren't enough things feeding on you so that you created the bodyguard network.
Okay,
now you have to begin
been...
to use it.
Okay, and how do I use it? Just this, like what you told me about the sandcastle and the beach and just being out there?
That, and then begin to actively say with your voice, like a commander general, I summon the dragon lineage armies within my DNA and the bodyguard network in my DNA to begin protecting me and my 17 selves so that all 18 soul sparks of myself can begin to be unified and all other beings that are connected to me through one degree of separation that need these soul codes also share in the bodyguard network, so that all beings have access to all soul codes at all times. That's your main purpose, to make sure that the soul codes never, the flame of the soul codes never burn out. That's why you came in protected, and that's why you were harassed for so many years, because if you're not broadcasting your soul codes, no one gets them. Now you're broadcasting your soul codes. Now you have to realize that you are an equal part of that co-creation. This being talking to me right now, not all the other selves that are there, this being is the one that gets to do what? Have the experience in equal co-creation. And you need to begin to plan how you can be in equal co-creation with this bodyguard network. You may want to think of it as a novel right now, where you have you and 17 characters, and somehow those 17 characters all need the common words, so the bodyguard network is equally divided amongst them, and you, the one that is writing this through the hierarchical perception, can begin to understand that you can make non-hierarchical by making all beings equal, and then having all other beings that are one degree of separation of you access to your full soul codes while you are still protected in a sacred space.
Okay, so if I was able, if I had activated, you said I've done, then why am I still being attacked?
Because there are, like I said, the other 17 versions of yourself don't have the equal bodyguard energy.
Oh, I see. Okay, got it. Okay. And
it
then
is your duty.
That you said,
yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's your duty to verbally express equality of the bodyguard network amongst your own soul shards. The dragon energies won't do it for you. The other elemental energies won't do it because it is your test of sovereignty as a DNA skin suit, as an I Am presence, and as an oversoul. Will you take the respect and responsibility of the 7 future generations into your heart, connect to your sacred feminine, and be expressing at all times your soul codes in harmony and love? Can you find yourself that mate that completes your other side? Can you begin to end the whispers of voices that you've been hearing for millions of years and give them all to the spiritual court of equity so you can have a life of peace, unity, love, respect, and understanding? Because that is what you are thriving for so long.
Right, right. Wow. Okay. I don't know what to say.
Did you hear did you hear the other call, the first caller we did with the light language?
Yes, we did. I did. Yes, yes, absolutely.
What did you feel about that? What was going through you when you heard that?
It sounded familiar. It sounded something that when I had my first reading with you, it's something that you you spoken to me about, and I remember I started bawling when you did. It was I couldn't stop crying.
Yeah, I had to use the soul, that particular soul language, to activate the bodyguard network. Your higher frequency soul was not able to actually manipulate your voice box to create the frequencies. So I co-worded with your soul the actual frequencies, and your body went through the release so that your throat chakra now has access to your higher soul, because it had been blocked out. There had been a very powerful chunk of glacier energy that just got in there and said, you know, you shall not pass. Mm-hmm. And now that it's gone, you need this in yourself too, to know that your voice is infinitely linked into your heart.
Yeah.
And the heart can bypass the mind and talk. And that is the nature of light language. And there are dragon light languages that are tremendously, tremendously healing. And I'm going to give a sample to one here. Wa hua ti ya tomo ti ta ha ka ye ka da ka chi wa ta ti na ha yi ta ti to ni ta ka ta na chi mo na ta ka ta ta chin to ma. Mochi kata, moshi dun kata.
Wow.
Do you feel that tremendous settling of energy?
It's actually pretty intense.
Huh? What else do you feel?
It just very much completes. Does that make sense? It's like
I just activated your gallbladder so that you can give commanding general words. So just repeat after me. I in the ever present moment.
I in the ever present. I'm sorry, one more time.
I in the ever present moment.
I in the ever present moment.
Activate my gallbladder.
Activate my gallbladder.
To be in unison with my throat heart.
To be unison with my throat heart.
Throat heart. To begin to command the bodyguard network.
To begin to
command the bodyguard network.
The bodyguard network.
With my I am presence voice.
With my I am presence voice.
With this now sealed in place, I have the ability, in all dimensions and time streams, to share
the bodyguard network
with all other versions of myself.
In all other versions of myself.
So that I am a unified soul shard.
So I am a unified
soul shard.
Soul shard.
Who is now complete.
Who is now complete.
The use of my voice.
The use of my voice
is now integrated into my protection.
Is now integrated into my new protection
of my home.
Of my home.
My family and friends.
My family and friends.
My city.
My city.
And all other expressions of culture that I live in with a voice.
And all the other expressions of culture that I have lived in with this voice.
It is the power of this voice.
It is the power of this voice.
To share all soul codes.
To share all soul codes.
In perfect equal protection.
In perfect equal protection.
There we go. Tati ta wati ta tamo ma chi ma amata naha wati ya mo mi ni na chi wobi di na tata chaka wata na ta chika mo na na mo ma na nene cha ta poti naha tu ke cha na ta mo ma ta iyo no ma ta ta mo ka chi ka na ta mo chi. Okay, I want you to try your own little bit of light language. It's important here. Just let your heart make the frequencies through your voice. It's connected now. Just find the trust in yourself to make the intonations.
Okay. All right. This is amazing. All right. Andrew, I wanted to ask you about... I've had, Scott, there's a couple of experiences that I've had through, I'm able to tap into people's frequency. I'm able to see the frequency that's being set to people as before it becomes a thought form for them, and I can see it, I can read it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That's called understanding the potential of the predictable person in front of you. And until people begin to be unpredictable, that skill set will be some of your greatest advantages, but also a disadvantage, because it means you have to look. And looking can be very tiring after a while.
Okay. But what do you mean, look? I don't understand. I mean, am I looking for something specific?
Your third eye is always doing this. There are times that the third eye muscle gets so strong, when you want it to turn off, it needs to flex. And you begin seeing these predictions and potentials in people. Even though it's not supposed to be part of this layer of the I am self's experience and expression, but it is right now, because it is it is the next part of your DNA activation. It is saying, are you ready for this next layer of change, where when you come out of the egg of creation, will you be ready for a 3 or 4 streams of information lifetime instead of the 2 stream of information you have from your eye that becomes a single stream of information in your third eye? You will effectively create 2 additional third eyes in your crown chakra when you're done with this DNA change.
Because it's me or everyone else.
Yeah, it's a way for you to realize that what's coming in your DNA change is a massive change in the way you perceive the world. And your spirit does not want to overwhelm your body with these changes, but it also wants to prepare you so that it's not this massive shock. So it's beginning to show you more and more and more of the other layers of the world that are working here. And this is where you've got to look at this as like some of the most advanced times of self-study of what's going on and how to physically record it. Whether you do audio logs, video logs, or writing, you need to begin recording those experiences so the I Am Presence can go back and look at the frequency of what was created, so that you can understand that even you were predictable in some of those scenarios. And learning to use that skill directly on yourself is the key to making that DNA change have the easy button. So it's not hard at all, and it costs very little internal energy once you learn to turn that skill on yourself.
Right. Okay. I understand what you mean. I get it. I really do. But the other question I have for you is that I'm getting a lot of downloads. where is that coming from? Is that, again, my soul that's trying to prepare me, just like what you just said a few minutes ago? For what's about
yeah. The next thing is the downloads. A lot of these are trying to prepare you for, again, the mass amounts of streams that are coming in, and it's trying to determine how much creative energy do you have to co-create with it. So these downloads will come in different forums and formats to see how fast you can adapt with the raw ability to pull into creation and co-create with it, and to allow the experience to be rich and beneficial and healing for you instead of some of the limited patterns that we may live in, such as shame, blame, and guilt being projected onto us by others, or our own shame, blame, and guilt that limit us from allowing that experience to have the full joy and happiness from the tips of our fingers and toes.
Okay.
I mean, you kind of got to go deeper into the experience, but at the same time not be lost into the experience.
Right, right. Actually, I'm not lost. It's, I just...
Well, I know you're not lost.
Yeah.
I know you're not lost.
Okay.
You just got a map that's got a whole bunch of points on it that you got to visit, and it's, well, all right, where do I start? All right, I did these first 10. There's 97 more to go. You got a long journey.
Yeah, okay.
A journey into understanding the multidimensional self. And you have these gifts that are waiting for you that you have set up for yourself. A very ancient future version of yourself has been orchestrating these gifts in time for you. When you learn to use that frequency skill that you talked about on yourself, you'll be able to see these other beings in the ancient future time traveling back to meet you in a camouflage scenario, and when you use the skill on yourself and you recognize your other frequency of yourself is where these gifts will be handed to you. And these are spiritual gifts, the gift to clear the field of energy of other people with the connection to other people's future selves, as well as creating portals into the dream world that allow people to connect to future soul families, so those future soul families can begin their process of disconnection from the galactic ascension machine in full sovereignty, knowing that we are coming out in full sovereignty.
So, this is amazing. Today I'm getting hit with so many different things. One of the questions that I wanted to ask you is, today I met with a gentleman that mentioned something about having that I carry the liquid crystal. It's the yellow staff from the Atlantean times, that I'm the carrier of that knowledge. Does that make any sense to you?
It does and it doesn't. The expression of what I said about you holding all the soul codes is what he is saying is the staff, when in fact the staff is not something real. It's just a metaphor that the culture had to adapt to make something real. Instead of it being internal inside you, it's a staff. And it's not a staff, it's always internal. Now, there are technologies,
right,
staffs that have cross dimensions and time streams, but those purposes were to karmically connect people to those objects so that there would be a lure for them to get out of other paradox timelines and to seek out these items of power so they can be trapped on the non-paradox timeline to end karma for all galaxies and universes simultaneously. So there are millions of these objects that are out there that do this, that are particular portal creators to make sure beings somewhere else, to beings that were somewhere else that needed to be here on the end timeline could finally make it here.
Okay. My God, there's this feeling that I'm constantly waiting for something to happen. And I'm wondering what's this thing that's holding me back. And I always felt like there's something that's holding me back. But what is the immediate thing that I need to do at this point?
Use your voice.
I'm sorry?
You need to use your voice like the commanding general.
Okay.
You need to realize that the commanding general voice is your most powerful tool this lifetime. You have the access to the infinite bodyguard network. And when you get into learn to use your power in your sacred space, you can extend that protection to everyone in the galaxy and universe if you should choose.
I feel that already, like within the people that are very close to me. Somehow I feel that I'm protecting them and just for them being with me. Or, they've taken trips that I feel that I need to be there to protect them, and I know that they're protected because of my beingness there. I feel that. It's really interesting because they even expressed it too, saying that, you know, I feel that you were there because, you know, you were there to protect me for some strange reason. It's not just, you know. So I do feel that, and I do, you know, have that feeling, you know, with many people around me, as you know, already. So and how to use my voice. Okay, I just answered my own question.
With your own voice.
With my own voice, exactly. Okay. I want to ask you about I don't know if this is too personal, but it's about my mother. How
okay.
is she spiritually attached to me? You had mentioned that before.
Yeah. I don't think you really want that on air.
Okay.
I don't think you really want that on air. It's got a lot of karma from India past. A lot of British East India Trading Company stuff. It's nasty, really, really nasty. And your mother is in the last stage of her soul letting go and giving up and going into recyclement. She could never figure out how to break reincarnation, just could never do it. Has been stuck in it for so long that that's her whole existence. But again, she volunteered to be like that from the very beginning. So at the end, the greatest healers come out and find beings like her so she can become one of the greatest beings of healing for future generations.
In other words, did she sacrifice herself?
In a metaphorical way, yes. But at the same time, at any point in time, she could have used her sovereign free will to get out of it and change the experience and still been here at the end. She had just been a divinity path being for too long, gave birth to too many powerful souls, and couldn't live without them in lifetime. Those powerful souls got intertwined with divinity path karma, and the next thing you know, she's a kindred spirit in thousands and millions of lifetimes to all of these divinity path beings she'd given birth to. Instead of having her own life of great power multiple times, she gave away her power lifetime after lifetime to other beings she gave birth to.
Why would she do that?
Everyone, every soul has had a different view of the galactic ascension machine when they first went into it in awareness, created the dream world so that the constant paradox timelines could actually exist. There was no unified way of looking at it, and from her time and her belief system when she entered in it, it was her understanding through her soul family connections that there needed to be this constant, powerful, sacred feminine that was constantly giving birth to divinity beings. And if there wasn't enough divinity beings, this galactic ascension machine would never work. So she just volunteered herself from the very beginning to be a divinity path birthing machine that ultimately just burned herself out. She gave birth way too many times.
Okay, is she still trying, because I feel that she's constantly trying to communicate with me.
Yes.
And why? Why is she?
Do you want to communicate with her?
Yes, of course.
Then my best advice for you is to orally say something to her and then begin to write what her response is.
Okay.
Okay? You have a left brain and a right brain. Just dedicate one side of your brain that answers the questions that you ask out loud to your mother. And ask that you can find remedy and resolve for our karma that your mother has gone through by sharing all of the bodyguard protection units with her. Be the commanding general.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Gotcha. Okay. Thank
you. All right, we are going to call it the end of the show here. This has been a fabulous, fabulous show. Moji, thank you so much for coming on.
No. Are you kidding me? Thank you, Andrew. This is fabulous. I can't thank you enough. You're amazing. I love you. And thank you for everything that you're doing. You're just amazing. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, Danielle, come on in over here. What did you think of that last reading?
Amazing. You know, Commander. It was wonderful. It's a blessing to have every single one of these beings on with us today. I just wanted to quickly let everyone know who has been trying to call in or who is listening that if you do want to participate in one of these reading shows, all of these callers have been League of Consciousness Explorers members. So if you would like to get a reading as well, go to the League of Consciousness Explorers. Hit the join button. It's in the upper right-hand corner and it stands out. And once you're a member, you can sign up for a reading as well. And, you know, we're always happy to take on new readings, new callers. It's such a wonderful and healing experience for us all. Thank you, Andrew.
And thank you, Danielle. And for those people that want to go and look at the Dragon webinar that we put up this last Friday, you can go to galactichistorian.com. You can see the first Dragon webinar that we put out, and then there's a second one and a third one, Bruce Lee, where it explains how Bruce Lee was a dragon and what his life was about, how he died, what he went through as a person, as a spirit. And all those are available on galactichistorian.com. And I want you to look forward. We're going to be having more and more webinars coming up. We'll have more in Law and Sovereignty shows every Friday. We're going to be transitioning some of the Friday shows. So we're going to bringing a third reading show instead of two per month. We're going to be bringing you three here shortly. So there's going to be lots and lots of opportunities for people to get live on air and have a reading, as well as being participating in our live Q&A as part of the League of Consciousness Explorers that we do twice a month. And then the webinars, we're going to be featuring a very robust question and answer session. As you can see in these readings here, when I get people that can ask questions, or if you look at the webinars, there's a very powerful answers that can be unpacked. And everything is a healing. And I want to thank Danielle, Santi, everyone at the Megastation, BBSRadio.com, all the people in the chat room, everyone at Google Hangout, and everyone in the universe that is listening. This has been another wonderful show. All right, why don't you take us away, and we'll be back at same bat time, same bat channel on BBSRadio.com.